I'm always thankful for time that we can just get together as ladies and just share from my heart what the Lord, and really this is, I've never taught what I'm teaching you this morning. I've never taught it, but it was something the Lord just recently brought to my heart and attention. I'm reading chronologically through the Bible, and I was in this passage, and the Lord just really, really spoke to my heart, and I thought, and He made it clear, this was what I was to share when we came here. So I hope it will encourage your heart. And that is truly my heart this morning, is just like, just to be able to put that courage in your heart for what the ministry that God has called you to, whatever you're doing here, it's important. You're needed. So let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank you for the blessing of being able to serve you. You're such an awesome God. We love you, and we do want our lives to count for eternity. And so I pray that as I share what you've put on my heart, Lord, I pray that the words would touch the hearts of the women as the Spirit of God uses your word to bring the comfort and courage that they need today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I never imagined that I would be in any kind of full-time ministry. 2 days ago was my birthday, but the best part about 9/11 for me, that my birthday, is that that was also my spiritual birthday. I got saved on my birthday when I was 8 years old. It was a Sunday morning, and I trusted Christ. And as a little girl, I mean, I wanted to tell my friends about Jesus. I wanted them to know Him. And as I got into my adult years, I just would pray and just say, Lord, use my life. Use me. I want my life to count for eternity. And I think it's always so awesome to see what God does. And it's usually always a surprise. It's different than what we imagine it was going to be. And of course, I didn't realize that I would be marrying a pastor, but that was a surprise. And then after we got into ministry and our girls were getting ready to leave the home, I said, Lord, now what? What do you want me to do with my life now? And I imagined, and I have a burden for women, and so I had been mentoring women one-on-one, spending time with them. I thought maybe that would continue. But the Lord opened the door for me to begin speaking at ladies' retreats. I just got an invitation. It was nothing I ever sought after. It was just an invitation, and I'm like, I don't think I can do that, and I can't. But the Lord burdened my heart for it. And I remember the first time I ever went anywhere to speak at a retreat. I had prepared all I could do. And it was like, Lord, you are going to have to do the work. I know that. And I really believe that when God puts us into a ministry, it usually is something that we realize we cannot do in our flesh, that we have to have His enablement to be able to do it. And I remember that night, after the first session, I went back to my hotel room and I sobbed. I felt like it was horrible, you know, like I didn't communicate properly and maybe the ladies weren't encouraged by it or whatever. And I mean, I was on my face before the Lord. And I said, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? Because I felt so discouraged by it. But it was really a thing of just coming to the place, coming to the end of myself and realizing God had to do the work through me. And then, and it's been a delight. But then after I'm finished, I just realized, Lord, it's your word. You will take it. The Holy Spirit will use it in the hearts of the women. And then some years later, the Lord opened an opportunity. My husband came to me, and he had been at the radio station where he records for our local radio station. And he said, they've asked if you would do a broadcast in our radio station. Like, no way. He has the radio voice. I don't have a radio voice. I mean, how could I do that? And they wanted a recording for every day of the week. I'm like, when would I have time to prepare a radio broadcast for every day of the week. They said, well, you would record and like, we're going to like store them up and then we will, when we have enough, then we will begin it and then we'll play it. And I said, no, absolutely not. I cannot do that. And then as I was, I said, but I will pray about it. I will pray. And as I was praying about it, the Lord let me hear a message on the radio by Adrian Rogers. And he made this statement. He said, people need to know that there is something better. And that statement just pricked my heart. And I in my heart, that resonated with me. And I said, yes, that's why I love teaching women. I want them to know that there is something better. And so I'm still praying about the radio broadcast. And I went to a ladies' retreat that I was speaking at. I completely lost my voice. I've never lost my voice before. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and just looking at the ceiling. And the Lord brought that quote from Adrian Rogers back to my mind again, that people need to know that there is something better. And he said, if you have a voice, God wants you to use it for him. Amen. And so the Lord put those two sentences together in my heart in the middle of the night. And I know he took my voice from me to make me, because I was teaching and I taught all weekend, just squeaking out my words. And I said, okay, I'll obey you. I'll do it. And you know what? The first time I went into the radio station to record, I came out and my husband said, well, how was it? And I said, that was fun. Only God can do that. But that was another surprise that he brought to me. And now here we are in an itinerant ministry traveling. What? I used to say to my husband when he was in full-time, you know, as a pastor, I would say, I'm so glad God didn't call you into evangelism. Yeah. You know, I love being home and hosting people in our home. That's my love. I'm so glad. And God said, oh, just wait. I have something for you. And I've just watched the Lord be so faithful. That whatever indeed is, as Dale shared in Philippians chapter 2, that's my passage for this part of this is Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. It is God who works in you. Aren't you glad and thankful that he works in you? But to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the Lord had to give me the willing for what he wanted me to do. Because every time he brought something, I would say, no way, not me. No, I can't do that. But he gave me the heart for it. And then he does the work because I know I cannot. So I wonder what you are, what your ministry is that you're doing right now. And when you began the ministry here in your church or however you're serving, if it's the ministry outside during the Bible clubs in church or schools or wherever you are, you realize that it is God's calling on your life and that in and of yourself, you cannot do it. And maybe it's a surprise the way the Lord brought it about or even something yet in the future that he will call you to do. It is God who will do the work. But the passage that the Lord has led me to, I want you to open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1. And I have been just so blessed to read chronologically through the scriptures. And when we came to Jeremiah and to know the story of what God was getting ready to do with Israel to discipline them, the Lord had a plan. And to be able to fulfill that plan, he had a person that he was going to use to get Israel ready for what was going to happen. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, let's just jump down to verse 5. The Lord is speaking and he says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And I imagine Jeremiah listening to this, like I heard somebody saying to me, they want you to do a radio broadcast. I mean, this is a surprise to Jeremiah. Like, what? Me? Prophet? No, I can't do that. Not me. And I think about other people in the scripture. Can you think of somebody else who was surprised at God's call in their life? Moses, yes. And Moses said, Lord, I can't even talk. Anybody else? I'm sorry?
Gideon,
yes. Another prophet. Anybody else?
Esther.
Sure, yes. I also think about, like, Paul. That's a surprise at his transformation of his life, and now he's been called to be a servant of God and to be a voice for him. It is a surprise. And I think of my own life, and maybe yours too, when somebody came and said, listen, we need somebody to teach the 2 and 3 year olds. You're like, what? Not me. Or whatever role it is God has called you to, it's usually a surprise. But I want us to see, first of all, that God is faithful to his call. When he says to Jeremiah in verse 5, he says, before I formed you, I ordained you a prophet. This is his call on Jeremiah's life. God is faithful. And so after we're saved, it's not just God's plan for us just to float into heaven one day. And my radio broadcast has now morphed into a podcast. If you're interested in listening to it, it's Refresh Her is the name of my blog that I've written since 2008. Refresh Her podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever. You'll see my picture there. But as I think about this, you know, it's like, this is a ministry that only God has called, could call us to do. And he said, I have called you to do this. So after you're saved, God has a ministry that he wants every one of us to be a part of so that we will live out our life faithfully. And recently on my podcast, I said, God doesn't want us to coast into heaven. Like, you know, we just live this Christian life and it's so wonderful and we just coast into heaven. No, I think we should go blazing into heaven, whatever God has us to do right now that we are so fervently working for him. But I love that God is faithful to the call, but I want to see, first of all, that Jeremiah wisely knew that he could not do the ministry. And really, if we had the idea like, oh, sure, yeah, I can do that, we're going to fail. But he wisely knew that he couldn't do it. And he even says to the Lord, verse 6, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Really, that is such a great place to be in. Because then we see God doing the willing and the doing of his good pleasure. I can't do it. So he wisely understood that he is unable. But then secondly, Jeremiah had been prepared by God, who had this purpose for him. Because we see that in verse 5. He said, before you were ever formed out of the womb, I have already sanctified you as a prophet. And then he gives him the willing, the doing, and I love 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who called you, who what? Who also will do it. He will do it. And that verse is just telling us that God is completely trustworthy and dependable. And he is going to fulfill the work until it is completed for his glory. So, can you relate with Jeremiah saying this? Lord, I can't do this. At any time in our lives, I'm sure there's been something that God has called you to do. Maybe it's even to be a testimony to your neighbors. It's scary, isn't it, to step out to be able to share the gospel with someone and think, I don't even know how to get this conversation started. I don't know what to do. But God is the one who will equip us, and then his Spirit does the work through us. And our responsibility is to just open up our hands and surrender and submit. Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I will obey you. Because God hasn't made a mistake. And really and truly, this D&D Ministries, I had it all figured out how we were going to do this ministry. Oh my goodness. And it is completely different than anything I thought it was going to be. I had it all figured out. But really, truly, I've tried to just say, but Lord, my hands are open. You do the ministry the way you want it to be done. And the surprises are wonderful. They are wonderful. So first of all, we saw God is faithful to his call. I want us to see secondly that God is faithful in his presence and his protection. Look down at verse 8 of chapter 1. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. If you've ever spoken to any group of people, even this small amount of women in this classroom, or to a group of children, or to even just one person trying to share the gospel, when we look at their face and we get all the thoughts in our head of like, no one is following me. They don't understand what I'm saying. And, you know, Jeremiah had a legitimate understanding of the faces that they would be looking at. What kind of faces would he be looking at? They wouldn't be happy with him when he told them what God was getting ready to do and leading them out of their homeland and be exiled. They were going to have faces with anger and hatred. And truly, we could experience that as a witness for Christ. We're seeing that more and more, obviously. But he says, don't even be afraid of their faces. So in God's faithfulness, in his presence for Jeremiah and his protection, first of all, he would faithfully go with Jeremiah. He wasn't just going to send him. He said, and look at verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. And surely, you know what? The best thing of all is that God is with us. He doesn't just say, go and do it and then come back and report to me. Mm-hmm. No, he goes with us in whatever he's called us to do. He didn't just send him. And it was important to Jeremiah because listen to a few things that he experienced. Jeremiah would preach for decades and nobody would respond. They wouldn't listen to him when he warned them about the exile that was getting ready to happen. And then after King Josiah died, Jeremiah had lots of threats on his life. So you think nobody's paying attention to me. Nobody's heeding my warnings, but Lord, you're with me. King Josiah dies and people are threatening his life. I mean, he had to go through some very hard things. But in the midst of the difficulty, he could remind himself, but God, you're with me. You are here with me. I mean, being let down into a dungeon and then pulled back up with rags underneath his arms, the horrible things that prophets had to do was just incredible. But God was with him. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. But God was with him. He could remind himself of that truth. And one commentator said, surely the best news of all is that God is with us. You know, we don't do any ministry alone. God is with us. Can you think of some verses? What verse comes to your mind when you think that's a promise that God is with me? Let me hear what comes to your mind.
I will never leave
you, forsake. Yes, Hebrews 13. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can you think of another?
God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help.
Yes. A present help. He's here now. Think of another.
Proverbs 18:32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect.
Amen. How about a favorite Psalm 23? His presence is with us. Thou art with me. I will fear no evil. You are with me. Even in the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The name Emmanuel, his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So just think about it. You know, I never stand that God is not with me. I never sit down that God is not with me. I never speak that God is not with me. I never testify of the gospel that God is not with me. All things that we do. And that was Jeremiah's promise. But that's our promise too. He promises to be with us. This morning my Bible reading led me to Daniel chapter 1 and 2. And of course that awesome story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And then the fourth one joining them as the appearance of the Son of God. He was with them in the fire, protecting them. And you know, it's easy to feel afraid in our society today, perhaps even after the events of this week. But when we know the character of our God, and really as we read the Bible, the most important thing that we get out of any reading is not, well, they didn't get harmed in the fire. The most important part of that is, what do you learn about the character of God? God was sovereign over that. And so he's sovereign over everything that touches our lives. It's not a surprise to him. He is there overruling what men would want to do. And so here, this promise to Jeremiah is also a promise to us of God's presence with me. And also then secondly, of his protection. He was going to protect Jeremiah, that even the evil faces, and maybe behind the faces is obviously an intention. Like, I am going to get you. I hate you. I hate what you're saying. But God promised protection over him, that even the evil that they had planned. And I have to say, after 44 years of ministry life, some of the meanest people that I have dealt with have been other believers that are not walking in fellowship with God. And so, you know, I've even known ministry people who have left the ministry because they just got like up to here dealing with people. But what does God promise us? I'm with you. Don't be afraid of it. Their faces or of their responses or their words. So we trust a sovereign God who is ruling over all that, who sees it, who hears it himself. I remember years ago, many, many years ago, this was my husband's second church. We had a family that just got so upset with my husband because he was changing like part of the covenant of the ministry that was not biblical. And the deacons and he were going through it. And this man got so angry. He said, I don't care what the Bible says. That's our church covenant. And so, boy, that began a storm in the church. And he stirred up so many lies about us. It was probably the hardest ministry trial that we've been through. And during that time, we had a godly man call us and had Dale and I both on the phone, and he said, I want you to be reminded that you are in good company when you're being persecuted. Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, or 5, verses 11 and 12, blessed are you when men will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now listen to this. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Who was Jesus talking about? Jeremiah, Ezekiel, these men that we're talking about right now. They were persecuted, and your name and your company is with them. So rejoice and be exceeding glad. God sees what is happening. God hears it. He is with us in the midst of it. And I have to tell you that, you know, vengeance is the Lord's, he says. He will repay. So we can take our hands off of the situation. We don't have to deal with it or make them suffer for it, because our God is the one who will have vengeance. And it doesn't always happen in this lifetime. It might not be till eternity. But sometimes we do get to see what God does. And the blessing is, it was about 20 years later after this situation happened. And they had stirred up a lot of people, brought in other people into the church to vote against my husband, and that had never even darkened the door when we were in the church. And this 20 years later, now we're in Tennessee. We were in Indiana at the time. Now we're in Tennessee ministering, and my husband gets a phone call from one of the men that had stirred up all the trouble. And he said, "I'm passing through Tennessee, and I would like to come and see you." And we said, "Okay." And he came. He said, "I want to take you out for lunch." And we're sitting in the restaurant, and he said, "My real reason for coming..." He said he was traveling, and he was making a trip, and we were just on the way. But he said, "I purposely came here because I've come to ask you to forgive me." He said, "I've just learned I have cancer, and I'm preparing for my trip to heaven, and I want to make things right with you. Please forgive me for all that I did." You know, and that didn't have to happen in this lifetime, but how kind it was of the Lord to allow us to be able to see that. But such a reminder to me, God sees, God protects, and He will repay as He sees necessary. And so for me, I just need to trust Him, remembering that He is faithful. He is faithful to call, and He is faithful to be with me and to protect me. So I wonder, how can you apply what God has said here to Jeremiah to your ministry, what you're doing right now, to be encouraged by the fact that He is with you and He will protect you in what, however you're serving? Okay, lastly, I want us to see in Jeremiah here that God is faithful in His mercies and His compassion. You know, reading chronologically through the Bible allows you to be able to put the whole storyline together. And after reading through the whole book of Jeremiah, and you end with the book that, you know, Israel is still turning away from God. They're not listening. And kind of, you know, feeling a heart for Jeremiah. We're very familiar with the next book. I want you to turn to Lamentations and to a very familiar passage, to chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3. But as you begin the whole chapter of chapter 3, Jeremiah sees that God is faithful, not only to call him, not only to be with him and protect him, but God is faithful in being merciful and compassionate. And he starts off and he just begins talking about all the hard things in ministry. I just told you one of my stories. That's what I would be writing if I was writing this book of Lamentations. I would say, "Oh yeah, that time back there in Indiana, do you remember that? That was hard." I could tell you other stories. That's what Jeremiah is doing here in chapter 3. He's saying, ministry has been hard. Look at verse 8. Also, "I'm crying and I'm shouting, and God has shut out my prayer." Do you ever pray in the midst of hardships and it feels like God's not listening? That He's not hearing you when you're praying? It seems like He's so far away. And then he even goes on to say, I can't remember now where this verse is. Let me look and see down. Verse 9, "He's enclosed my ways with hewn stone and make my paths crooked. He was to me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places." I've been there. "And he's turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He's made me desolate." Now he feels like he's alone. "He's bent his bow and set his set me as a mark for the arrow. He caused the arrows of his quiver to enter my veins. I am a derision to all the people and their songs all the day. He's filled me with bitterness. He's made me drunken with wormwood. Verse 16, he's also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He's covered me with ashes. Do you ever just feel like the hardship that you're facing? It's almost like, I mean, can you imagine having a mouthful of gravel and chewing it? That's a horrible thought, but what a picture that is. Like, that sometimes feels like what the ministry is. It's like, some days are wonderful and awesome, and you see God blessing and doing wonderful things. But the reality is there are some days that we feel like we're just chewing on gravel. That's what Jeremiah was feeling. And his encouragement to us is, even though there are days when you might feel like God's not answering your prayer, even days when you feel like you're just chewing on gravel, God is faithful. He promises to be faithful to us. Look at verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. You know what? When we turn around and we look behind us, or maybe we look right now at what's going on around us, the hardship of ministry, like, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. It humbles us. It brings us to a place that we realize we cannot do it. That's what's happened to Jeremiah. You know, we love the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we sing, all I have needed, Thy hand has provided. And when we think of that part of the song, we usually think of how God has blessed us with material possessions, or He's given strength, or He let us lead someone to Christ. We think of that. But do we realize that all I have needed, Your hand has provided? I needed that humbling time. I needed that hard time. I needed that time that just made me just cry and sob my heart out before Him. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. Great is Your faithfulness, Lord, to me. So he recalls the bitterness of ministry, and then secondly, he is humbled by these experiences. These humbling experiences keep us from boasting and being prideful. That first retreat when I went back to my room and I sobbed, it was good for me. It made me just so dependent on the Lord. I want you to listen to a quote by Amy Carmichael, missionary to the children in India. She said, God delights to meet the faith of one who looks up to Him and says, Lord, I know I cannot do this, but I believe You can. God delights in that. And Jeremiah calls and remembers God's mercy and His compassion. Look at verse 21 through 23, are probably some favorite verses of all of us. So he comes through all the hard things of ministry, remembering those things. But then verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The morning that I was studying this passage in my quiet time, I was literally right here. And I had been praying, Lord, how am I going to encourage the ladies at Crooked Creek? What do You want me to share? I was here. I got right here at this verse, and I got a text from my mom in Kentucky. And she said, last night I spent 4 hours going through my box of cards and letters. Now, this one is mine. But she said, I spent 4 hours going through precious cards that you girls have sent me. She had a letter from her father, a letter from two of her aunts that were very precious to her. And she said, I just pulled out one after the other and I read it. And it was so refreshing. It was so comforting to me. I I read her text about that, and then I read verse 23. God's compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And the Lord put this picture in my mind. All of God's word, and I didn't know my husband was going to share in the first session about God's word being like a love letter to us. It's like, you know, I can look back and I can remember times that the Lord taught me something precious in his word. And it's like, it's stored up here. It's precious to me. But this morning, when I was reading Daniel, it was like, I got this 2 days ago from, and I had another one from my husband, end up throwing the envelope away. And I'm like, I wanted to keep that as an illustration this morning. But this is brand new. On that 2 days ago at my birthday, and I was able to just pull this out and then open it and read her sweet note to me. The Lord brought to my mind as I'm sitting in the window upstairs in our house, and there's, we have a long driveway and my mailbox is down there. And the Lord just brought to my mind my mercies and my compassion for you. There's a new letter sitting out there in the mailbox for you. It's from me. I see what's going on in your life. And just today, open the word. It's brand new. It's fresh today because I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you that I'm watching over you. I see what you're doing. I'm going to give you strength for the ministry that I've called you to do. It's the brand new letter. So Jeremiah says, Lord, you're so compassionate. You are watching me. You know what's touching my life. So how could you, just remembering God's faithfulness, how could it just refresh your heart and encourage you? God's faithfulness. Look at verse 25. Jeremiah says, the Lord is good to those that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Guess what? I'm not going to be able to get the letter out of the mailbox from the Lord if I am not waiting and seeking. I want to fix things. I want to go talk to this person who has a problem with me and just like tell them the truth and like get things right. Let's just do this. But Jeremiah said, no, you need, the Lord is good to those that wait. It's the sitting still and quietly before the Lord. Wait for him and then seek him. Stop trying to fix the problem or the issue or the whatever is going on, the difficulty. Just look for the character of your God. What have you learned about his character today that is brand new and fresh? Maybe you knew it, but it's like it's a fresh reminder today. Just like, I've known the story of Daniel, but today it was like, oh yes, you are with us. You are sovereignly watching over everything that's touching our lives. So remembering God's faithfulness to you and his mercy, it can have impact on the ministries that we have. I started off with just a minute ago, I read part of a quote by Amy Carmichael. I want to finish the quote. Listen to what she says. So wait before the Lord. Wait in the stillness. Assurance will come to you. You will know that you are heard. You will know that your Lord ponders the voice of your humble desires. You will hear quiet words spoken to you yourself. Perhaps to your grateful surprise and refreshment. As you what? Sit and wait quietly. God's going to give you exactly what you need during that time. And he'll replace the surprise of maybe the ministry that he's called you to or the difficulty of that ministry with his refreshment. And you know, surely that's the best part of serving the Lord, is like just learning more of him. and seeing what He is doing through the ministry that He's called you to do. I'm not going to read all through this, but Jeremiah in chapter 3, in verses 37 to 39, he talks about the sovereignty of God, that nothing can happen unless the Lord allowed it to happen. And think of all the things Jeremiah went through. He's like, Lord, You were faithful. And You ruled over it. And then in verses 40 through 42, I do want us to look at this. Look at verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Jeremiah said, be sure to have some self-examination. Look at your heart. Check your own attitude and your heart. Is there any sinful thing there that you need to confess? Make sure you are walking in fellowship with the Lord. And then in verses 59 through 66, Jeremiah is pleading for vindication. And again, we know that it is God who will repay. God saw those who were sinning against Jeremiah, and they will not get away with it. And we have to remind ourselves of the character of God, that He is in control and that we can trust Him. I want you to turn real quickly, and as I close, and I want to share one last verse. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. It's like, how did Paul view things like Jeremiah is going through? We know that Paul suffered some great things. And actually, the Lord has given me this passage. This is my passage that I'm claiming for this. This is our first ministry of the season and in the fall season. And so like on my way here, I'm trying to memorize it. And this is what I'm claiming for this season of ministry. But this is what Paul said about the ministry that God had given to him. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. This doesn't look right. Hang on. Acts 20, verse 20. Okay, look down to verse 22. I think this is one of... And now I'm memorizing it in another translation, so it's not familiar to me here in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. So this is his new ministry that God has given to him. I'm going to Jerusalem. And not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. Knowing what things will happen to me when I get there. Verse 23. Save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. In other words, he said, when I get to every town, what's waiting for me there? Trouble. Afflictions are waiting for me there. Chains are waiting for me. But look at verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That was Paul's response to what God had called him to do. I don't know what's going to take place tomorrow when I get to church and I serve in my ministry. But if you knew that there was going to be a huge trial when you go to do that, how would you respond today? Do what Paul says in verse 24. None of these things move me. It's not going to rattle me. Why? Because I don't count my life dear unto myself, but I want to finish my course with joy. And what is the ministry that God has given to any of us? To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. They need to know that there's something better. We don't know what's waiting for us, but He is worth whatever it is that's down the road that God sees and we do not. And you know what? God will be faithful in every season. And so we are to be faithful to Him, to just obey Him, and then watch Him be faithful in His call, in His protection of us, and in His leading and His presence and over everything that touches our ministry lives. He is faithful. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your encouragement in Your word. We thank You for men like Jeremiah and Moses and Paul. But Lord, we thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who faithfully fulfilled and submitted to Your will as His Father. Help these ladies, Lord, to just obey You and to be faithful to the place where You've called them. Help them, Lord, to have courage and to be reminded of Your presence and of Your protection, of the fact that You see and that You will provide, and vengeance belongs to the Lord. Lord, I pray for just much fruit in their lives as they serve You faithfully. I pray that their eyes would be fixed on eternity, that they would desire to be faithful to You, the One who is always faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.